I was very tired, but more hopeful than I had been since I left the island. If the good weather did not change, I would cover many leagues before dark. Another night and another day might bring me within sight of the shore toward which I was going. Not long after dawn, while I was thinking of this strange place and what it would look like, the canoe began to leak again. This crack was between the same planks, but was a larger one and close to where I was kneeling. The fiber I tore from my skirt and pushed into the crack held back most of the water, which seeped in whenever the canoe rose and fell with the waves. Yet I could see that the planks were weak from one end to the other, probably from the canoe being stored so long in the sun, and that they might open along their whole length if the waves grew rougher. It was suddenly clear to me that it was dangerous to go on. The voyage would take 2 more days, perhaps longer. By turning back to the island, I would not have nearly so far to travel. Still, I could not make up my mind to do so. The sea was calm, and I had come far. The thought of turning back after all this labor was more than I could bear. Even greater was the thought of the deserted island I would return to, of living there alone and forgotten. For how many suns and how many moons? The canoe drifted idly on the calm sea while these thoughts went over and over in my mind. But when I saw the water seeping through the crack again, I picked up the paddle. There was no choice except to turn back toward the island. I knew that only by the best of fortune would I ever reach it. The wind did not blow until the sun was overhead. Before that time, I covered a good distance, pausing only when it was necessary to dip water from the canoe. With the wind, I went more slowly and had to stop more often because of the water spilling over the sides, but the leak did not grow worse. This was my first good fortune. The next was when a swarm of dolphins appeared. They came swimming out of the west, but as they saw the canoe, they turned around in a great circle and began to follow me. They swam up slowly and so close that I could see their eyes, which are large and the color of the ocean. Then they swam on ahead of the canoe, crossing back and forth in front of it, diving in and out, as if they were weaving a piece of cloth with their broad snouts. Dolphins are animals of good omen. It made me happy to have them swimming around the canoe, and though my hands had begun to bleed from the chafing of the paddle, just watching them made me forget the pain. I was very lonely before they appeared, but now I felt that I had friends with me and did not feel the same. The blue dolphins left me shortly before dusk. They left as quickly as they had come, going on into the west, but for a long time I could see the last of the sun shining on them. After night fell, I could still see them in my thoughts, and it was because of this that I kept on paddling when I wanted to lie down and sleep. More than anything, it was the blue dolphins that took me back home. Fog came with the night, yet from time to time I could see the star that stands high in the west, the red star called Magat, which is part of the figure that looks like a crawfish and is known by that name. The crack in the planks grew wider, so I had to stop often to fill it with fiber and to dip out the water. The night was very long, longer than the night before. Twice I dozed kneeling there in the canoe, though I was more afraid than I had ever been. But the morning broke clear, and in front of me lay the dim line of the island like a great fish sunning itself on the sea. I reached it before the sun was high, the sandspit and its tides that bore me into the shore. My legs were stiff from kneeling, and as the canoe struck the sand, I fell when I rose to climb out. I crawled through the shallow water and up the beach. There I lay for a long time, hugging the sand in happiness. I was too tired to think of the wild dogs. Soon I fell asleep.